Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Chris sent me a note. A story was published several different places involving $27 beers. A beer that cost $27. One beer. This story is from Frommer's, the travel company, Frommer's.com. $27 for one beer? Officials vow to clamp down on out-of-control prices at the airport. And we've all been there before. Once you make it through TSA, but before you get on the plane, you're in this weird twilight zone where prices magically dance as if they have no connection to reality. Zach Thompson wrote the article, charging $5 for a bottle of water or nearly $11 for a side of fries. Seems bad enough. But $27 for a single beer is outrageous, even by airport standards. Passenger in New York's LaGuardia Airport encountered that princely sum for beer last summer. Travelers' social media post and ensuing outrage online helped prompt a government audit of concessions prices at airports overseen by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. In that review, the Office of Inspector General found that a vendor which operates airport concessions in several North American cities had erroneously added a surcharge on top of an inflated base price. It was erroneous. Consequently, a total of 25 customers were charged the totally indefensible sum of $23 or $27 for a beer in Terminal C. It was an erroneous thing. You'll notice they always erroneously make it too high, and rarely, if ever, is it erroneously too low. The audit confirmed that all 25 of those customers eventually received refunds from the vendor. In fact, they were receiving full refunds, so they got all their money back, but they got to keep the beer. So, in course of sorting out the case of the insanely overpriced beer, the Port Authority determined it needed to clarify its policy governing prices at New York City airports such as LaGuardia, Newark, and JFK, and they're going to strengthen compliance measures for vendors. So, all airport customers should rightly expect that policies which limit the pricing of food and beverages at concessions will be followed and enforced, their chairman Kevin O'Toole said in a statement. Nobody should have to fork over such an exorbitant amount for a beer. According to the Port Authority's rules, airport concessionaires must set prices that are no more than 10% higher than nearby street prices for the same goods. So if a bottle of water is selling at $2.50 at stores near LaGuardia and Queens, airport vendors shouldn't be able to sell the same item for more than just $2.75. And of course, Zach Thompson here writes, yeah, right. The street price plus 10% provision was already in place. It was in place in 2020. But investigation by the nonprofit news organizations The City discovered last summer that Pringles, soda, and other snacks sold inside LaGuardia and JFK terminals were priced significantly more than 10% higher than what stores near the airports charge. The Port Authority's new revisions to the policy are designed to provide airport vendors with clear, specific, and detailed instructions for calculating prices. And the Port Authority says it's ramping up enforcement via measures such as more frequent on-site pricing checks carried out by the agency. Will such changes result in lower prices for food and beverages at these airports? This man says, well, we'll believe it when we see it. As the Twitter user who brought the $27 beer to the world's attention put it, look, man, I live in New York City. I don't expect enforcement of anything ever. The only way you get any type of enforcement is by yelling loud enough online. Port Authority's news release announcing policy revision at least partially endorses that view. All customers who suspect pricing violations are encouraged to report them via social media and then tagging the relevant airport, such as at JFK Airport, the statement reads. And so we've talked before about what constitutes a fair price for an item if you are a consumer. And this is an area fraught with peril because it does delve into consumer law. It delves into just sheer economics. It delves into the very soul of capitalism. Okay, so I have a widget, okay, and you want to buy my widget from me, and I want to sell you my widget. I name a price. If you like that price, you buy it. If you don't like that price, you negotiate with me. And if I negotiate with you back and we reach a price, I can sell it to you. If we don't reach a price, I don't sell it to you. And so people go, that's completely fair. Well, there are situations where that falls apart. And monopolies are an example. And also, in a situation like an airport where it's a near monopoly, because there'll be several different places in the airport selling bottled water or beer, but of course they all know they've got a captive audience, so they can all raise their prices. And the question is, if they all raise their prices, is there a point where somebody's going to go out, they're charging 27 for a beer, we'll charge 26, 25? That could happen, but it doesn't appear to happen. And so if you go into an airport, and like I said, you get into that decompression chamber between TSA and your airplane, you know you're paying more for everything. Everything. You're paying more for everything. There are laws on the books in many states talking about the price that you can charge a consumer. And I'm not saying those are right, because I actually think in some respects they're wrong. It would take a long time to get into it. However, many states say it is unlawful to charge a consumer a price that is grossly in excess of the value of the goods. So you might say, what's grossly? Well, some states say if it's double the price, that's wrong. Or if it's triple the price, okay? So somebody comes by and says, I bought this widget. And you go, yeah, it's a $5 widget. And they go, you're kidding me, I paid $15 for it. Your first thought is that person got ripped off. Now the question is, was it illegal or not? And you might say, Steve, $5, $15, what's the difference? Well, what if this is a $5,000 widget and it was actually something that I needed for some particular reason? And you say, what'd you pay for it? I say, $15,000. Now you go, well, that's a ripoff, right? And I know some people say, Steve, but the market is what sets these prices in a perfect world. And if the market allows for somebody to ask $15 for something, someone pays $15 for it, why would that be illegal? And here's the primary reason, is that there are people out there who are vulnerable. Quite often, it's older people. Quite often, it's people who have a slight mental disability. And we've heard stories before of somebody who, for instance, had money and walked into a car dealership. And they should have had somebody with them looking out for their interests, and they didn't. And they wind up buying a car and paying like three times the sticker price for it in non-COVID times. And they were clearly taken advantage of. And the price they paid for the vehicle was simply evidence of how they were taken advantage of. And so there are situations like that. The other situation always pops up, and I'm simply throwing this out as an example. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm simply pointing this out as an example. Is that if a natural disaster happens someplace, okay, we've talked about this before, natural disaster happens someplace, hurricane, tornado, earthquake, something, and there's all kinds of stuff in short supply, generators, ice, drinking water, and let's suppose you live one county over in a county that's unaffected by all of this, and let's suppose you had a 2.5-ton army truck that could carry a lot of stuff. In fact, 5 tons of stuff on the road. So you load it up with bags of ice that you bought really cheap in your county, because they're still selling for face value, like a buck a bag, say. I'm making up numbers here. You drive it into the area that's affected. Say, everybody, I got bags of ice for $5 a bag. They're selling so fast, you go, $10 a bag, because I want to make sure everybody gets one. $10 a bag for ice. And you sell it all out. And as you're driving back to get another load of ice, they arrest you for price gouging. So you can't take advantage of a natural disaster. So you don't go get more ice. Nobody goes and gets more ice. People in this area don't have ice. If you ask them, would you be happy to pay $10 a bag for ice? Many of them would say, yes, I just want the ice. And the price would act as an incentive to get someone to do that. And I've seen stories before of people who bought things like generators and brought them down and just marked them up a little bit to pay for their time. And so that is a huge dispute in this field, and there's no correct answer on it. I'm just letting you know that that's what the situation is. Some states have got laws against price gouging during emergencies, and some states simply have laws against price gouging at any time. And it just depends on how much in excess of the price and how do you set the price. So the biggest problem here is that they say that they cannot charge more than 10% of the street prices. Who sets those? And I think they're saying, well, generally speaking, up and down a street, there's going to be more than one store, and they're going to be competing with each other. You hope. Do the people inside the airport have to go out once a week and take a poll and find out what the street prices are? So it has some slop in the system there, too. But as of right now, it appears that they've cracked down on the $27 beer. So at least that's a win, right? Chris sent me this. Thanks a lot. Zach Thompson wrote it for Fromers. Fromers.com. That's two M's. Fromers.com. $27 for one beer. Officials vow to clamp down on out-of-control airport prices. Questions, comments? Below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Do androids dream of electric sheep?